The Cult of Demons podcast was created for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Don't open that.
Fire rescue, what's your address?
Young man beating up a woman across the street.
Okay, are they outside or in a house?
It's in a garage.
Okay, can you tell if he has any weapons?
I think he had a knife, but I'm not positive.
Okay, can you tell if she's injured or he's injured?
Say again?
Are either of them injured? Can you tell from where you are?
Yes, there's a girl laying on the ground. He beat her up. I ran over there. I'm bleeding profusely here at the moment.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
Welcome to the Cult of Demons podcast, a true crime podcast series exploring the spiritual and psychological states of some of the evilest people in history who have claimed to be possessed by an entity such as a demon and/or worship Satan. These are their stories. The date was August 15th, 2016. It was a typical hot, sticky South Florida summer day when Mina Harif noticed that her son Austin was acting far from his typical self. He was exhibiting odd symptoms and saying very weird things. Unaware of the tragic events that were soon to transpire, she recorded his behavior, and what she captured was bizarre.
I've become like almost immortal. I have to die. I have to die one day.
That's not immortal.
Austin had been acting erratic and not sleeping regularly in the weeks leading up to this day. Earlier in the summer, he searched on Google how to sell his soul to the devil. On August 10th, between the hours of 3 and 5 a.m., Austin searched the internet for how to relax my mind and auditory hallucinations when falling asleep. He then followed these by searching for schizophrenia and if it was okay to overthink things. A couple days later, on August 12th and 13th, he searched for Satan, asked Google, what exactly is hell, as well as the biblical figures, Adam and Eve. On August 16th, when things got real weird in the Harif household, Austin searched, must I sleep? I think I'm going crazy. Am I? What am I? How to know if you're going crazy? Can we control more than we think? What is white magic? He also searched for answers on hearing things in my sleep and obsessive thoughts. And about centaurs, a mythical half-human, half-horse figure. What's the weakest thing about a centaur, and what's the biggest help to a centaur? These internet searches give us a glimpse into Austin's mind and what he was thinking in the previous weeks and days leading up to that fateful day. They show a person who was slowly losing grasp of his sanity and had spiritual questions. He asked Google as if it was some type of God for answers. One can only imagine the answers he received and/or theories he formulated from his searches, or the freaks he encountered on the internet. Later that day, sometime in the afternoon, Austin's father, Wade Harif, had thought it would be a good idea to keep his son distracted and his mind busy, so he decided to take him on a hike with his daughter and another friend. We hear his father, Wade, describe how Austin was acting very strange during the hike.
When did you first see your son?
You talk about in the morning?
Whenever you saw him. I don't know if you saw him in the morning, at night.
I think it was about 12 or 1 o'clock. I said, let's go on a hike. He had my daughter, my daughter, him, and their friend in Austin. And we were walking through the woods for about 2 or 3 hours. And Austin would be happy. Mm-hmm. And he'd be quiet. And all of a sudden I saw, look, there's a poor tortoiseshell. It's empty. Mm-hmm. And there's another one. Stop everybody. He gets his knife and it's about this long. Mm-hmm. And he says, stay behind me. I feel something is going to happen here. I said, put that damn thing back up. What the hell is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And he did. And so then
Do you know what kind of knife that was?
Yeah, with the switchblade.
Is that the knife that you bought for him?
I didn't buy it. He bought it from him.
Oh, he bought it for himself?
At the gun show.
Okay, at the gun show. Yeah. If I show you a picture of the knife, could you say whether it is or it isn't? It's got a little blood on it. Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah, it's green.
The knife?
Green.
Best I could tell, that's the knife he had?
Yes.
Okay.
What's that, about a 3-inch blade? Yeah, it looks like about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he, what did he say was going to happen to the turtles? Anything?
When he acted like he get behind me, I think something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And
what I was doing for the last 2 weeks is trying to joke him out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, put that away. You're crazy in hell. Stop. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So then after that, we continued to walk and we went into a clearing of the residential thing, and he decided to run. I sat there and watched him from afar run about 2 or 3 miles.
Wow.
At once.
Quick?
Quick.
Wow.
And so he's totally dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to enjoy these podcasts ad-free without any interruptions and also get one free bonus episode every single month, please join us on Patreon and become a member for only $5. In addition to getting these podcasts ad-free, you will also help support me so I can have more time and money to produce some more cool podcasts for you. They take a lot of time and cash to create, so your support will go a long way in assisting me in doing this labor of love. Again, please join us in the member section for the Cult of Demons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/cultofdemons. Again, patreon.com/cultofdemons. You can also go to the website at cultofdemons.com and click on the subscribe button and find out how you could subscribe and support the show. Later that night, Wade took his daughter, Austin, and a friend to Duffy's Sports Grill to have dinner. He said his son was acting quiet, and when he questioned him about his recent behavior, Austin had told him that he wasn't doing drugs or drinking anymore like he had done in the past. The next thing his father knew, Austin, who was wearing a Make America Great Again hat, was nowhere to be found.
Very good timer.
Mm-hmm. Well, none of this is horrible by all accounts. So
anyway, he sprinted for two or three miles. I witnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Duffy's, ordering food. I think he did get some iced tea and he drank it.
Mm-hmm.
One glass of iced tea.
Okay.
Feel like he's going to the bathroom and left.
Next, there was a knock at Mina Harris' door.
I was at home earlier at 7,
uh-huh.
And he knocked on the door.
Uh-huh.
And I open it, and he walks in, and he's just in his shorts and a sweaty
mm-hmm.
shirt.
What color was that shirt?
He didn't have a shirt on.
Oh, he didn't have a shirt.
I think earlier in the day, he may have had a white shirt, a white jersey. I don't remember.
Okay. And when he knocked on your door, what did he say?
He didn't say. He just came in, and I said, where's Haley and Sam?
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew he was out with them. And he says, I don't know. And I mean, I don't know exactly the chain of events for me
mm-hmm.
going to the kitchen.
Yeah, and because
mm-hmm. I was cooking dinner,
mm-hmm.
and I said, are you hungry? And he's like, yes. And I think I was in the refrigerator, and I look over, and he's got a container of Wesson oil, and he's staring out the window, and he's like he's about to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just turned, I said, that's not a drink, and I grabbed it from him,
mm-hmm.
and I put it on the counter. I said, that's Wesson oil.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned around, and I don't know if the phone rang, and Haley's calling me, But I mean, I do notice him getting a bowl, and he gets mozzarella cheese, and he puts a little bit of the oil in it and takes a couple of bites.
Okay.
And Haley's calling me, asking if Austin's there.
Where was Haley? Where was she calling from?
Duffy's.
She was at Duffy's.
And I said, yeah, what happened? And she's like, he left. So I'm like, Austin, why did you leave? He goes, I don't know. I said, come on, why did you leave? He goes, I didn't want to wait.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, is the food ready? And they're like, yes, have him come back and eat something. So I said, do you want to go back and eat something? And he's like, okay. And I don't know where he went to get his shirt. I want to say it was the back bedroom by our bedroom. And he got a polo shirt and put it on. And I guess I got the keys and we left.
Okay. And then you dropped him off at Duffy's. Did he have his wallet or phone on him?
No.
No. Where did you see it? Or no. Do you know he left it?
I think I asked him. I said, where's your phone? And he's like, I don't know.
Okay. You called 911 later on that night, and you said that he was missing.
Well, I guess when he took off the second time,
mm-hmm.
they called me. I don't know when they called me and said, is Austin there? And I said, no, what happened? Well, he took off again.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever altercation he had with his dad.
Was he angry at his dad?
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you remember the 911 call you made?
Austin's mother had dropped Austin back at Duffy's Sports Grill with his father.
Then she gave him a ride back to Duffy's.
Mm-hmm.
He comes, sits down. And I said, it's going to be on tape today. So I said, what the hell are you doing? And he didn't say nothing. So I grabbed him by the collar. And I said, what the hell are you doing? And he goes, and my girlfriend says, Austin, don't. And he looks at my girlfriend, embarrassed, leaves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, Jesus. Did he seem agitated or it just seemed weird when you grabbed his shirt?
He seemed weird.
Okay. Did he get agitated after you grabbed his shirt?
Yeah,
did
he get, hit me.
Yeah. Okay, but then
for the first time.
Okay, so he's never hit you before. He's never raised his hands to you or anything.
Done that.
Okay, you said something about psychotic or psychosis, something like that. Is there any history in your family as to mental illness or anything like that?
Yes,
there is. On who?
My sister.
Your sister, and she's being treated.
She was treated.
She was treated.
She's fine now.
Okay, what kind of illness?
She had severe depression.
Okay, anyone else in your family? Mm-hmm. Yourself? Okay. Depression?
Yeah.
Okay. And you were treated and everything else? What about grandparents or
no.
anything like that? No. Okay. What about him? Has he ever seen a psychiatrist or been treated for...
I don't think he has.
Okay. Was he on any kind of medication?
No.
No. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So, anyway...
After he
disappears.
Uh-huh. Do you know where he went? Did he say where he was going?
No.
Okay.
Next thing you know, this is about 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
Renting a house sucks. That's why owning a home is the American dream. The reality is that if you ever want to buy a home or refinance your current loan, you're going to need a mortgage. Many lenders make the whole process seem like rocket science. Not the Simple Mortgage Company. They make the whole mortgage process easy and simple, just like it should be. What is really cool about this company is that it is operated by a good friend of mine named Eric Sandstrom, and he has an awesome team of some really cool people. I have worked with Eric for the last 10 years, and I trust him and his team. I would never use anyone else. That is why if you need any type of mortgage, whether you're buying a home or refinancing your current mortgage, I recommend that you contact Eric and his team at 619-373-0973. Again, that number is 619 573-0973, or you could visit them online at simplemortgagecompany.com. simplemortgagecompany.com. One last tip for you mortgage shoppers out there. If you're already working with another lender or a mortgage broker, Eric and his team can often beat their offer and interest rate. So I suggest you give them a call at 619-373-0973 and see how much money they can save you. Worried about her son's crazy behavior, Mina called 911 to see if they could help track her son down, who was carrying a knife, before he did something stupid.
Police Department, Lodge Recorder. Is this Chrissy?
Yes, I need to... I don't know how to do this. My son, he's kind of taken off, and I'm concerned about his own safety.
How old is he?
Acting a little strange. 19.
Does he live with you?
Yes.
Okay, what do you mean acting strange?
It seems like he's a little delusional, or like he's acting like...
Does he have a history of that or anything?
Recent. No, this is just like recent change, mm-hmm. and that we're noticing. And he was out to dinner with his dad today, and he took off. And we're just, you know, he was with his sister, and he says, you know, he feels immortal and like a superhero. So I don't know what's going on with him.
Do you know if he's been taking any drugs or anything like that?
Nothing. I've asked, and mm-hmm. nothing recent.
Right.
That I know of.
So did he leave the house, or did he leave from the restaurant? Where's he last seen it?
From the restaurant at Duffy's.
Which Duffy's is that?
By I-95.
And what city, though? We dispatched for 5.
In Jupiter, I'm sorry.
Okay, hold on.
You know, he wants to help everybody. He's, headed, well, last seen was going towards Island Way, towards, like, going towards North or Church Street.
Yeah. How long ago was this that he left?
I want to say 10 o'clock. It's not 9:30.
And he left on foot?
Yes. He had no ID on him, his no phone.
And where are you at, ma'am?
I'm at home.
What's the street?
Lost Lake Way. You know, and I think the only thing he has on him is a pocket knife switchblade.
Is that, where is that, your home, is that in West Jupiter, or is that
In the Shores.
And it's Loft, L-O-F-T, you said?
Yeah, L-O-S-T. L-O-S is in Sam, T is in Tom. Loft.
Okay. Lost Lakeway, okay.
Right.
And your name, ma'am?
Mina Haroff.
What's your callback number?
561-745-1862.
And he's never done this before? I mean, this is like something new?
No. This is just, I mean, his friends, I'm calling all his friends, and they're like, it's just, he's changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is he white, black, or Hispanic male?
He's white, he's got light brown hair. He's wearing white shorts, and he had a blue polo on, if he's wearing it, and a red hat. Make America Great Again.
Okay. What's his name?
Austin.
Middle name or initial?
K.
spell the last name for me?
H-A-R-R-O-U-F-F, like drink.
What's his date of birth?
12/21/96.
All right, I'll get an officer by that can speak to you and see if they're going to put out a missing persons alert or what they want to do with it. Do you have no idea where he might have went or anything?
I have no clue.
Okay.
No clue.
Does he have any weapons that own or anything like that that he would have on him or anything, pocket knife or anything like that?
Yeah, I said he had a pocket knife, like a switchblade type pocket knife. I don't know.
Okay.
I think that's the only thing he has on him.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't own any other weapons.
You said he left towards Island Way, and that was around 10 o'clock?
I want to say 9:30, 10, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll get somebody by there for you, okay?
Great, thank you.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
While Austin's parents searched for their son, he walked on foot and made his way into a quiet Jupiter neighborhood not far from his mother's home. Enjoying a nice late summer night in their garage, 59-year-old John Stevens and 53-year-old Michelle Michcon had their garage door open like they always did so they could stay cool, enjoy a couple drinks, and talk with their neighbors. Little did they know that Austin was going to come inside their garage uninvited and completely annihilate their quiet evening. Without provocation, he allegedly started brutally attacking John and Michelle, pummeling them with his fist and stabbing them with a knife. A neighbor across the street witnessed the attacks as he heard Michelle's screams, frantically crying for help, and he ran to her assistance. Here is the tragic recording of the neighbor's 911 call.
Don't open that.
Fire rescue, what's your address?
Young man beating up a woman across the street.
Okay, are they outside or in a house?
It's in a garage.
Okay, can you tell if he has any weapons?
I think he had a knife, but I'm not positive.
Okay, can you tell if she's injured or he's injured?
Say again?
Are either of them injured? Can you tell from where you are?
Yes, there's a girl laying on the ground. He beat her up. I ran over there. I'm bleeding profusely here at the moment.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
All right. Can you tell if she's conscious or is she unconscious?
Say again?
Can you tell if she's conscious?
No, it does not appear so, no.
Okay. And what kind of injuries do you have?
I've been stabbed in the back.
With a knife?
Yes, I believe so. It was tough to tell.
Okay, you couldn't tell how long it was or anything?
We needed an ambulance.
We're sending them. And where is he? Is he
in
the area
still? Yeah, I think he's in the garage right across the street from my house.
All right. What's your name? Okay. All right, we're going to get the paramedics right out there.
Sir, what did the guy look like? Was he white, black, Hispanic?
He is white.
You know how old he is?
About 25 years old.
And what was he wearing?
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Do you know who he is?
I have no idea.
Does he live at that house, or?
No, he does not.
Did the female look familiar to you?
I believe it was the daughter of the house that lives over there. I'm not positive.
Can you have your wife, or I don't want you moving if you've been stabbed, but can you have your wife or someone look out and see if he's still there?
I don't know. See if that car is still there, honey. It appears he's still there.
And you said you definitely saw a knife and that's what he hit you with in the back?
No, I did not see it, but my wife's looking in my back and it appears I got punctured.
Yes, Dad. In the neck, in the head, three puncture wounds.
Okay, we got units en route, okay?
Okay.
All right, just call us back if anything changes, all right?
Don't put that on me. All right, I'm bleeding pretty bad.
Okay, we got an ambulance and everybody en route. Just stay right there and stay calm, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Tragically, it took the Martin County Sheriff's Department about 10 minutes to arrive. All the while, the Good Samaritan neighbor, severely injured, was losing blood quickly.
911, you need fire, police, or medical?
I need medical. We called one.
Let me transfer you to fire rescue.
Yes.
We have units en route, ma'am. Everybody's en route. The deputies just got on scene. They have to secure before we can get in. Is your husband still conscious?
Yes.
Okay. Here, I can get you back on if you want to get some more advice from them, but they're on their way, okay?
Okay. Okay. I mean, I think we've got it under control, but I just want to make sure they are coming.
Yes. No, everybody's coming. The deputies have to secure this scene before the fire rescue can come in, okay?
Okay. Well, he better secure it, or I'm going to keep... Right.
There's units on scene across the street right now, okay?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
The air in our home was slowly poisoning us and our innocent little children. There was a killer lurking within our walls, and for years, it slowly weakened our immune systems until we all got sicker and sicker. My son got hit the worst. It started with allergies and asthma-like symptoms. The flu, earaches, and diarrhea were an every-month affair. Later, he would end up much worse, in a wheelchair, and then in the hospital. We eventually found out that we had high levels of toxic mold and contaminants in our air that caused my son's and my family's health problems. It took years of therapy, a lot of money, and faith to bring him and my family back to recovery. Since I was successful and I now operate my own mold removal company, people often ask me what they can do to keep healthy and their home safe. I tell people that the air you breathe is the most important element and often the most overlooked. From the roads with smog, pet dander, pollen, heavy metals, and toxic mold, you need something that can clean your air in your home so you and your family can remain healthy. The best tool that I use and recommend by far is the Rabbit Air Purifier, and specifically the Rabbit Air Minus A2 Purifier. They are awesome for helping people who suffer from allergies and/or asthma and toxic mold. The great thing is that you can order a Rabbit Air Purifier right now by calling 760-957-9255. Again, that number is 760-957-9255, or go online to cleanmyairnow.com. Rabbit Air Purifiers have true HEPA filters and one-of-a-kind three-filter systems which trap airborne particles down to 0.3 microns, which reduces common allergens to support optimum filter efficiency and prolong filter life, making you and your family healthy. It also has wireless internet capabilities, which allows you to monitor the air quality and control purification in your home, whether you're sitting on the couch or away from the house. Enjoy the effortless experience of clean air with the cutting-edge Rabbit Air Purifiers. Again, you can order them right now by calling 760-957-9255 or visiting cleanmyairnow.com. Again, cleanmyairnow.com, or call them at 760-957-9255. Get your Rabbit Air Purifier now and start breathing easier. The most shocking part of the story was yet to come. The sheriff's deputies arrived, and one of the deputies observed the suspect actually biting the deceased male victim on numerous occasions and spitting out the male victim's flesh. It took numerous deputies, jolts from an electric stun gun, and bites from a police dog to pull him off. They said they didn't shoot Harif because they feared hitting Stevens, who they weren't sure was alive or not. Several deputies and a police dog were involved in the effort to subdue him. Here's an edited recording of the deputy's radio transmission as they just arrived on the scene and encountered Harif as he growled like an animal on top of John Stevens in some type of grappling hold as he was trying to tear off his cheek and chew on his face.
63308, advise on fire rescue when you can.
63,
I've got this guy wrapped around him.
SO 305,
your radio's 1099.
63305, can fire rescue go in?
No, sir, I've got this guy wrapped around him and he's fighting him.
Careful.
Oh, no! Can you get back?
Send in fire rescue.
10-4, send in fire rescue, 2137.
23 to any unit I'm seeing. Are all our people okay?
That's okay. Any crises?
23 SO. Go ahead and call on call detective and crime scene, please.
Cat Park 2137.
626.
Lieutenant 10-4. Tom 2-7-4.
That's a 35-10-9, your radios 1099.
I told you, you got that?
1054, your radios are 1099.
Possible to begin now.
You're still digital 1099.
Right away, it's all possible true signal sevens. We need them in here now.
10-4.
That's why we also need another ambulance or across the street. I'll get you the address in a second.
10-4.
Yeah, just where it is, that's two. It's the other two, right?
6:30 freeway. I know you have your hands full. Do you have any suspects that are not 10-12?
We have everybody 10-12. One suspect.
10-1.
3-0-6. We have three victims. And we have one suspect at the scene right now. 2-7.
We have unconfirmed 7 so far. So we have 26.
SS 1026, one confirmed signal 7.
Here is the testimony of the sheriff's deputy that night.
I saw a huge, giant trail of blood, probably 8 feet wide, 6 feet wide. I ran up the driveway. Grace was standing right here, pointing a gun down to the ground. I saw a male lying on his back on an angle in front of the car, this direction. And I saw another male on a what they call like a side mount grappling hole. He had his legs intertwined, his arm wrapped around the male, and he had his fingers like a fish hook in his mouth, pulling his face off, trying to pull his cheek apart.
Was he saying anything?
He was grounded. I pop him in the back. My countdown on my taser started at 5, 4, 3, 2. When it hit 2, I realized it's not working. I yanked my cartridge off. I shocked myself. Ran back around Gracie on this side. And then I kicked him in his head, trying to get him off of the mat.
Let me stop and interrupt you. During this time that you were here, did you ever see Gracie utilize her taser?
No.
Okay.
She was at gunpoint.
Okay.
I kicked him in his head. Head came off for a second, and he went right back in and took a deeper grapple hold. I started stomping on his head in that fashion, trying to get his head off the guy's neck, trying to get him off of him.
Did you have similar boots on?
Kind of, yes. The male was laying on the ground, and he said a couple of words, very calm, very soft, "Help me get him off." He said it probably 2 or 3 times. I didn't want Gracie taking a shot the way he was grappled up into him. There was no good shot. It would have went into him, into the victim. I kicked the male probably about 6 or 7 times in the head. Not boot kick, but stomps on his head trying to get his head off. Of course, the canine showed up. I don't remember if he came on that side or he came around. I believe he came up this way. Turned around. Had him, the door pointed. He said, "I'm going to release the door." We're all yelling, "Get off of him, get off of him." He didn't get off. Canine released the door. The suspect had his fingers in his mouth. The dog grabbed his arm, pulled it off. The suspect ripped it out of the dog's mouth and went in for a deeper hole. Canine pulled back, said again, releasing the dog. He released the dog a second time. Same thing. Grabbed his arm, pulled it back, and ripped it out of the dog's mouth again. I was here. Canine pulled off. I came in again. I gave him three or four more boot kicks to the head. At the same time, I pulled out my handcuffs. One more boot to the head. His head came off of his shoulder, and I was able to stop him now, where he banged his head against the concrete and stunned him. At that point, his arm came out, and I knew it got stunned. I smacked the cuff on his hand, grabbed it, and I yanked him and pulled him to here, where his head was now this way, his feet were this way. I spun him over. Umbrella, I call him. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Grabbed his left arm. Yes, the training. Grabbed his left arm. We were able to put the second cuff on. He was pretty stocky, so he had to pull out his set of cuffs, so we had to use double cuffs on him. I backed off, holding the cuffs. I told the trainee, run in, check on her. He ran in, checked her pulse, and gave me a shake of the head no. He came back out, told dispatch a couple of times, get fire rescue in here, possibly two signal sevens. Then I told Umbrella to go get shackles, and we shackled him so he wouldn't fight. When I finally was able to separate him, he was yelling, I'm eating people, kill me.
The suspect was screaming.
Screaming.
And that's before he was handcuffed, or as he was...
As I finally was pulling him off of him, he was screaming, kill me! I'm eating people! Kill me! Very loud. And I was able to drag him over here. We were both able to secure him. I believe Tequesta even helped us secure him. Because there were two Tequesta cops, and one couldn't because he was holding canine.
The male victim was speaking when you first got here?
The victim was lying on the ground, just lethargic. I seen a slit from under his arm to his waist, 7-8 inches wide. I seen his ribs. I seen a huge hole on this side, and both of them, the suspect and victim, were.
Did you see the suspect biting him at any time?
Yes. The suspect, when I got here, like I said, was in a full grapple, and the suspect had his neck and head right here on the victim's neck, and he was chewing on his cheek, and I see big rips in his cheek.
Was he just chewing, or was he like tearing like a dog,
Tearing like a dog.
Okay, I'm sorry, did you say he was tearing at him, or was he chewing at him?
He had a piece of his cheek, and he was trying to rip it off, like trying to rip a piece of meat.
Okay. While you were here, did you see any dogs?
When I ran up, as I ran up, the vehicle that was in the driveway, the driver door was open, and there was a dog sitting inside the front passenger seat. I noticed that were keys, I believe, on the floorboard of the vehicle. There was a puddle of blood on the floorboard and some blood on the driver's seat.
Do you remember the door being open of the car?
The driver door was open of this car.
Okay.
And there was a dog sitting in the seat. After we set back, I walked past him. I think it was a black dog. I was actually startled because he was just sitting there.
Okay. Did you see a knife on the ground?
Yes. When the victim was lying on the ground, his arms were kind of like a C shape. There was a blade opened up here underneath his right arm. I don't remember. For some reason, it's telling me it had a red handle on it. There was a blade underneath his right arm. There was a scissor sitting over here. And I believe inside the garage, there was an Adirondack chair sitting here with a screwdriver on one of the armrests, I believe. But I know for a fact there was a scissor there, and under the victim's right through the C-section here was an open knife.
Okay.
Renting a house sucks. That's why owning a home is the American dream. The reality is that if you ever want to buy a home or refinance your current loan, you are going to need a mortgage. Many lenders make the whole process seem like rocket science. Not the Simple Mortgage Company. They make the whole mortgage process easy and simple, just like it should be. What is really cool about this company is that it is operated by a good friend of mine named Eric Sandstrom, and he has an awesome team of some really cool people. I have worked with Eric for the last 10 years, and I trust him and his team. I would never use anyone else. That is why if you need any type of mortgage, whether you're buying a home or refinancing your current mortgage, I recommend that you contact Eric and his team at 619-373-0973. Again, that number is 619-373-0973, or you could visit them online at simplemortgagecompany.com, simplemortgagecompany.com. One last tip for you mortgage shoppers out there. If you're already working with another lender or a mortgage broker, Eric and his team can often beat their offer and interest rate. So I suggest you give them a call at 619-373-0973 and see how much money they can save you. According to court documents, when Austin was being taken into custody, he made the comments, "Help me, I ate something bad." A sergeant on scene who heard him asked what he ate. Austin's response was, "Humans." The documents revealed that when the suspect was at the hospital after the attack, a detective saw him spit out what appeared to him to be human flesh. The detective also saw the college student with human hair in his mouth. The weeks leading up to and on the night of the murder were filled with eyewitness testimony of strange and erratic behavior, such as Austin mentioning he was immortal and an animal barking like a dog. He was also displaying superhuman abilities before the murders, like running 2 to 3 miles at a full-on sprint, and when he was caught by sheriff's deputies in an act of chewing off the man's face, he displayed abnormal strength and an evilness only seen in horror movies. Later, further toxicology reports were released showing that the only drugs in Austin's system were alcohol and minimal THC, so bath salts and the Flocka theories proved to be invalid. In the weeks and days leading up to the killings, Austin starts acting very strange. His apocalyptic internet searches revealing a mind in chaos and looking to Google for answers. His mother, Mina, describes to detectives his behavior the day of the murders when Austin had called himself an animal, made comments about being immortal, and watched self-hypnosis videos on the computer in his bedroom, his mother had said.
Like, you didn't ask me what happened from the morning. The night before, we had a family dinner. Everything was fine. I mean, he was just as nice as could be, talking to everybody. And when we left, he said, "I want to pick up my car at his dad's." Because that's when they came back from the gun show. And I said, "Well, can you pick it up in the, I'll drive you and pick it up in the morning." Mm-hmm. He's like, "Okay." So apparently that night he didn't sleep well because Haley, he would go into the room and get the dog and try to sleep. And apparently, I guess he went up to Haley's room and slept in her room.
Was she there?
Mm-hmm. So he gets up early in the morning and takes off. And I text him, you know, "Where are you?" He goes, something like, "I'm going to get the car," or I may have said, "Are you going to get, I don't know." And I said, "Do you want me to give you a ride?" He said, "No, I'm fine." And he's like, "Listen, if, I have it on text. If,
you can read it if you want."
I said, "Do you want me to pick you up and take you to your car?" He said, I'm fine. Stay there. Listen, no matter what I say to you, know I'm protecting you even when you think I'm evil. Nice guys finish last. This is like 9:30 in the morning. And I said, what does that mean? And he says, fuck off. I said, now that's weird. Can you at least tell me where you are? And I think I called his dad to say, you know, he said this to me, and he says, dad's boat. So I think I called Carrie, his girlfriend, Wade's girlfriend. I was just trying to see if, you know, was he there? Mm-hmm. And she said, yes, he's doing stuff on the boat. I'm trying to, you know, have him do things because I think Wade was going there to talk to her. And then I don't know what happened there. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, they're talking outside and I guess Wade wouldn't give him his keys and he got mad and Wade told me he jumped on the hood and I guess he finally gave him the keys and he drove off and he came to the house with I don't know if he picked up Sam and came to the house, but I know he went, said he was going to go get his watch fixed. And I think he was alone. I don't know if he came and got his watch, I don't know. And then he went to the jewelry store. Mm-hmm. And I think Wade saw him there too.
Do you know what jewelry store?
I want to say in the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center. Okay. Called Paul David or something like that. And I think Sam comes over and Haley gets up. It's a blur.
Mm-hmm.
But they all leave. And I don't know if they go to the beach. But she texted me, call someone, have him talk to somebody, like making him an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
That's because she said he ran a U-turn red light, saying, you know, I'm invincible.
Okay.
So it kind of scared her, and I don't know, they went to a frat person's house, and he was acting different there. She can tell you the account. Mm-hmm. Which they never told me until after.
Mm-hmm.
After everything.
Mm-hmm.
But she did tell me that he also, when they went for this walk, because I guess they went after Wade's work and they all met to go to a walk in the woods, like off Island Way.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like step off the curb, you know, but the car is going slow enough, but he's mm-hmm. like, you know, I don't know if that was I'm immortal or I'm whatever, superhuman or what, mm-hmm. I don't know what the exact phrase is.
Okay. Almost done.
And I texted Haley, how's he doing? And she said, fine, the walk is doing him good.
Okay.
Like, maybe it was clearing his mind. Or, mm-hmm. And that's the last I remember until he came home.
Okay. I don't have any more questions.
No, that's great. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry you don't do all this.
Thank you.
It's got to be difficult.
There was one other thing that, and this is hearsay from her daughter, but he said that he believed he was something other than human.
I don't know if that was at the beach or at the friend's house. She was driving, and I guess he was going to get in the car, and he opens up the back. I think they were in a Kia, and he was in the back part sitting there, saying, you know, I don't know if he was starting to get into signs, like astrological signs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a Sagittarius, and he felt like, I don't know, a dog? I don't remember. Something.
Mm-hmm. He said that to you, or said that to someone
Haley.
Else? Okay.
Well, I'm going to interview Haley and her. Sam.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And,
I, you know, they didn't tell me that till mm-hmm. after everything, okay. You know.
Like so he was talking about his astrological sign, that his astrological sign is a dog.
And he was telling them about theirs or, you know, when he looked at it, I don't know.
Okay, I'll get that from him. Okay. I don't want to.
I mean, I'm sure there's more. It's just, I don't know how much further back.
If you remember anything or if there's anything you want to talk to me about, please feel free to call. I'm going to get a card for you before you leave, one of my cards. And it's tragic. So if there's anything that I could do or we could do for you as a department, we have a chaplain here if you'd like to speak to, whatever we could do for you too, okay? It's unfortunate.
Thank you. I know. It's so horrible.
I'm sorry.
After Austin had been in custody in 2017, Dr. Phil McGraw from the daytime TV show Dr. Phil had conducted an interview on FaceTime with him in prison. It shows only a short part of the two discussing the dark figure named Daniel who scared Austin. He said his mind was a blur on August 15, 2016, when he left the restaurant to walk to his father's home after getting into an argument with him. Dr. Phil asked about the devil talking to you, and Harif went on to describe a dark figure that he identified as Daniel. Austin said, "Right when I saw him, I panicked and I tried to get help. It wasn't like a clear person, it was a dark figure," he said, and added that when he saw Daniel and heard his voice saying, "Hey, Austin," he got scared out of his mind. Austin Harif is still awaiting trial, but the questions still remain. How did this college student with no violent background all of a sudden become a cannibal killer? What happened to this teen's mind to make him go completely mad? Was it drugs? Was it schizophrenia? Was it the self-hypnosis videos? Was it the satanic searches on the internet? Or was it this dark figure, this demon identified as Daniel, that possessed Austin Harif on that fateful day? If you would like to enjoy these podcasts ad-free without any interruptions and also get one free bonus episode every single month, please join us on Patreon and become a member for only $5. In addition to getting these podcasts ad-free, you will also help support me so I can have more time and money to produce some more cool podcasts for you. They take a lot of time and cash to create, so your support will go a long way in assisting me in doing this labor of love. Again, please join us in the member section for the Cult of Demons on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/cultofdemons. Again, patreon.com/cultofdemons. You can also go to the website at cultofdemons.com and click on the subscribe button and find out how you could subscribe and support the show.